The graphic word cloud that came with the Touchstone's material for spirituality includes the following: wholeness, mystery, breath, presence, depth, nonsense, connection, transcendence, lived experience. Now, I'm sure many of you can think of other words. And all of this is to say that there's no easy way to define spirituality. I tend to agree with Reverend Peter Morales when he says, "Spirituality is not an idea, it is an experience." Or as Richard Rohr suggests, people who've had any genuine spiritual experience always know that they don't know. They are utterly humbled before mystery. Now, our Lakehead Unitarian Fellowship mission statement calls us to grow in spirit. But what do we mean by this? Our Unitarian Universalist principles provide some help, as they call us to affirm and promote acceptance of one another and encouragement to spiritual growth in our congregations, and the free and responsible search for truth and meaning, amongst others. Our Singing the Journey hymnal in hymn number 1003 is based on a painting by Paul Gauguin, and the hymn asks, "Where do we come from? What are we? Where are we going?" Now, I first heard these spiritual questions many years ago from pioneer gay activist Harry Hay, who asked, "Who are we? Where do we come from? What are we for?" And more recently, Tanya Talaga, in her book, All Our Relations, quotes Senator Murray Sinclair, who asks, "Where do I come from? Where am I going? What is my purpose? Who am I?" Now, these questions have been part of my own spiritual journey for decades. And perhaps some of the words sung by Joyce Poley can ring true. "I walk this earth a single soul with no sense of direction, and pass my time by looking for some fragments of perfection." Now, the encouragement to spiritual growth in our congregations was added to the UU principles when they were revised in 1985. It wasn't included in the original statement of principles in 1961, when the Unitarians and Universalists merged. This was a recovery of the transcendentalism of Ralph Waldo Emerson and other New England Unitarians, which emphasized an interest in self-culture, fundamentally an interest in spiritual growth. There's a pendulum within UU tradition that moves between the poles of yin and yang, reason and intuition, the intellectual and the spiritual. And both sides of that pendulum are needed to encompass the essence of the UU religious tradition. Now, in my early years at LUF, I was surprised by the powerful reaction of some members when the term spirituality came up. It was one of the list of words, such as worship, God, and so on, that at times sparked heated debate. There seemed to be a sense that to talk about spirituality was to talk about a blind faith in the supernatural or about traditional concepts of God. Science was real, and spirit was fantasy. Now, my own experience had been very different. I had rejected traditional religious traditions and concepts of God. But even without any need for a God figure, I still felt myself to be on a spiritual path or journey. But spirituality means different things to different people. And it's important not to think of spirituality as hostile to reason and science. Michael Shermer writes, There are many sources of spirituality. Religion may be the most common, but is by no means the only. Anything that generates a sense of awe may be a source of spirituality. Science does this in spades. And as Carl Sagan put it, science is not only compatible with spirituality, it is a profound source of spirituality. And the Dalai Lama has written an entire book, The Universe in a Single Atom, that explores the convergence of science and spirituality. He points out that when science determines something that conflicts with religious beliefs, religion must accept the findings of science. Now, I want to share a poem by Rainer Maria Rilke. It's called A Walk. And I especially want to share it since I got the title for the service from it. My eyes already touch the sunny hill, going far beyond the road I have begun. So we are grasped by what we cannot grasp. It has an inner light, even from a distance, and changes us, even if we do not reach it, into something else, which, hardly sensing it, we already are. A gesture waves us on, answering our own wave. But what we feel is the wind in our faces. Now, that is the sense I have when I think about spirituality. We can think about it intellectually, emotionally, and yet it remains elusive. We are grasped by what we cannot grasp, by mystery, by love, by the spirit of life itself. Such is the nature of spirituality, but what we feel is the wind in our faces. We can feel the wind on our faces, but it's much harder for many of us to embrace with our arms or our minds this thing called spirituality. Spirituality involves a heightened sense of connection with the deepest part of oneself, with others, and with a transcendent reality, whether that is understood as nature, the unfolding universe, God, or, as the seventh UU principle affirms, the interdependent web of all existence of which we are a part. This sense of connection relates to a desire for wholeness. Spirituality is also the process of growth that leads to that wholeness, a process that is marked by awareness, by a sense of awe, wonder, and gratitude at the reality of being alive and being a witness to existence, by an appreciation of the mystery that extends beyond the boundary of human knowledge, a boundary that is always changing as human knowledge evolves, and by the meaning and purpose that we create and or discover, including the way we live in response to that meaning and purpose. Spirituality is a lived experience as opposed to being solely an emotional or intellectual process. Now, the pursuit of spirituality can become anti-intellectual, but at its best and most effective, spirituality values intellect and emotion, reason and intuition, knowledge and wisdom, and personal growth, as well as the pursuit of the common good, through justice, equity, and compassion in human relations. Now, this emphasis on the common good is a counterbalance to the tendency for spirituality to be pursued solely for personal well-being. Given the state of the world, it can be easy to slip into anxiety, depression, or despair. So we need to stay in the present as much as we can. The sense of lived connection that is the cornerstone of spirituality can be cultivated and deepened through a variety of spiritual practices. Meditation, journaling, walking in nature, worship, music, reading, for example, poetry, prayer, or simply sitting in silence. Omid Safi writes, "Let us love the ordinary. Let us cherish the everyday, the every breath, the where we are. We see the patterns in life, in nature, in events, in our own emotions, but we also recognize that each moment, each breath, each guest of the heart is unique. The ordinary is already luminous. Let us celebrate the ordinary and locate the immanence of the sacred here and now. Let us seek the beauty in the every breath moments. May we have a life filled with awe in the most ordinary of moments." Thich Nhat Hanh shares a story about washing the dishes. He writes, "There are two ways to wash the dishes. The first is to wash the dishes in order to have clean dishes. And the second is to wash the dishes in order to wash the dishes." He goes on, "If, while washing dishes, we think only of the cup of tea that awaits us, thus hurrying to get the dishes out of the way as if they were a nuisance, then we are not washing the dishes to wash the dishes. What's more, we are not alive during the moment we are washing the dishes. In fact, we are completely incapable of realizing the miracle of life while standing at the sink. If we can't wash the dishes, the chances are we won't be able to drink our tea either. While drinking the cup of tea, we will only be thinking of other things, barely aware of the cup in our hands. Thus, we are sucked away into the future, and we are incapable of actually living 1 minute of life." Now, when I saw this by Thich Nhat Hanh, it reminded me of what I can only consider a conversion experience I had in the early 1970s. I was reading a Fabulous Furry Freak Brothers comic strip. The first panel showed one of the Freak Brothers with a dark cloud over his head staring at a huge pile of dirty dishes. Over the next two or three panels, there is a gradual lightening of the mood, and by the final panel, he has a glowing countenance as he observes the stack of glistening clean dishes. Ever since then, I have tried to enter that kind of a space when doing a task, especially washing dishes. I can say that washing dishes is a part of my spiritual journey, a lesson taught by R. Crumb through a Fabulous Furry Freak Brothers comic. I have to admit, I'm not always successful at being totally present. Alan Watts puts it this way: "Zen does not confuse spirituality with thinking about God while one is peeling potatoes. Zen spirituality is just to peel the potatoes. And this focus on living in the present moment can be carried on through all of our life. Peter Mayer captures that feeling as he sings, "This morning outside I stood and saw a little red-winged bird shining like a burning bush, singing like a scripture verse." Now we're going to hear Peter Mayer's Holy Now as our closing music today. And the sentiment, "Everything is holy now," is presented beautifully in that song. But I was first exposed to this idea when reading Allen Ginsberg. His footnote to Howell in 1956 offers essentially the same message, although expressed very differently. "Everything is holy. Everybody's holy. Everywhere is holy. Every day is an eternity. Every man's an angel. Holy the supernatural, extra brilliant, intelligent kindness of the soul." Or just a couple of lines from that poem. In the end, spirituality has to do with the cultivation of the inner life that we might live and act with more authenticity, integrity, humility, and compassion in the world. It is a gateway to transformation. In the words of Jon Kabat-Zinn, author of Coming to Our Senses, "Perhaps the most spiritual thing any of us can do is simply to look through our own eyes, see with the eyes of wholeness, and act with integrity and kindness." May it be so, and may we make it so.